Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah.
You know, honor God's word. This is so important. And that's what we learned in the devotional. Honor God's word. Put a premium on God's word. That's why you're here. That's why we are here. And you know, Jesus is so impressed by those who keep his word. And you know what? In my life, and I'm sure in yours also, you want Jesus to be so impressed with you. Are you in this place? Yeah. If that is true, then you want to know, what can I do to impress him? And what you have to do is just one thing. He told Martha, one thing is needful. He prioritizes the word. I want to show you something. And before I do, I'll just give you a background. The Bible tells us that a centurion sent the elders of Israel, because a centurion is not a Jew, right? He's a Gentile. So he sent the elders of Israel to meet Jesus and try to persuade Jesus to come and heal his servant, because his servant was sick, very sick. And so the elders came to meet Jesus and they said, you have to do this for this guy. He built us a synagogue. And the Bible says Jesus was walking to the house. They didn't have Uber then, and there was no boat. But while they got close to the house, the centurion sent people to Jesus. Now, you think about it. There are people in this world that say, if I see Jesus, I know my life will change. There are people today that are praying and fasting for a visitation from God. Think about it. They heard someone said he prayed and fasted 7 days and an angel appeared. Someone says 41 days and Jesus entered the room. So they are waiting for that. So here you have Jesus in flesh. It's not a vision. Praise the Lord. Jesus himself, and he's going to that centurion's house. That's a big deal. That's a great deal. And that's a blessing. You know, the Bible tells us that when the ark of God entered the house of Obed-Edom, he began to prosper. What was it about the ark of God? It was the word of God that was inside. And the Bible says the glory that Jesus had far surpassed the glory of the law. So Jesus coming to his house is a blessing. Just by him being there, things have changed. So he was walking towards the centurion's house. Centurion sent some people to him. And said, they told him, centurion told Jesus, please don't come. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. After he had checked. You think about it. After he had checked. Maybe they should have come before he left. But now he's close to the house. Then he said something unique. He said, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And he wasn't whining Jesus. You know, there are people that meet the pastor and say, pastor, just touch my head, touch my head, touch my head. But they are whining, they are playing, they are joking. They are not serious. This one was serious. He said, speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. He said, because I am a man under authority. When you have authority, you know the importance of words. The president right now is the commander of the armed forces of Nigeria. Does he look like someone that can go to battle? Maybe. But just by speaking the word, he commands all the soldiers. So he was telling us, I'm a man under authority. I tell my servant, do this, and he does it. My word carry power. So he knows, you just speak the word and everything will be fine. And Jesus did not say, you mean? A greater than the ark is here. And you're telling me, so I should be going back. Praise the Lord. He said, so you mean I should be going? He looked at the elders, if we're not serious. Look at what Jesus said. Luke 7 verse 9. Now whoever is on the projector is very smart. But I want to look at Luke's interpretation. 7 verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, when he heard the centurion say, just speak the word. Oh, praise the Lord. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. Ah! How can God be marveled? Think about it, he is God. I told you, he's ahead of us in time and in space. He knows all things. He did all things. Nothing should surprise him. Nothing should wow him. But this one did. He marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, you see, faith is not difficult. Look at what is great faith. Insisting on the word. It's not difficult. It's not about the number of years you've been in Christ. So since I was born, I've been a Christian. You think faith is easy? He says, I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. The man, can Jesus say that about you? When it looks like things are not working out the way you want, but you're still holding on to his word. Are you seeing that? When physically you can't see the changes, even in your spirit self, it's like there's no victory note. But someone tells you, aren't you going to give up? You say, no, I believe the word. Can he say that about you? He should. He should. He was so impressed by this man. And he was not offended. He was not offended. The guy who is going around asking for a vision from God, he's just wasting his time. The word of God is there. He was not offended. Praise the Lord. So he's so impressed when you keep the word. You see the word of God that you have. Hold it. It's so important. You cannot please Jesus outside his word. And nobody that spends time with the word of God will regret it. Don't let anybody deceive you. People that say, are you not a student? How can you be spending time? Let's go to class. They're not like the class has started. You shouldn't miss classes. But they say, how can you spend so much time with the word of God? Listen, the man who spends time with the word of God, the woman who spends time with the word of God, God will never rebuke them. Do you know that? Look at Luke chapter 10. Martha was busy serving, trying to get the table ready for Jesus. Mary, praise the Lord, was listening to his word. And ordinarily, you would think Mary was wrong because she'd go and help. Didn't Jesus say the one who serves is the greatest? Right? So she'd go help. But let me tell you something. God will never rebuke the person who spends time with the word. Because the word of God made all things. Praise the Lord. Martha was going around looking how to prepare food for Jesus. Think about it. This Jesus, what can you prepare for him that is good enough? That he cannot give himself. This is the man who multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The Bible tells us in John 21 that when the disciples met him at shore, he had bread and fish there and they were cooked. He can cook. Do you understand? There is nothing you can give to him except your attention. Do you know that? And so he's so impressed. So be that person that impresses God. You have a lot to do, so you're going to wake up early and spend time with his word. Praise the Lord. And do you know, keeping his word, spending time with his word is a proof of your love for him. This is so important. Some people think they read their Bible as a religion. Let's not offend God. What did you read today? You know, the people who, there is a perfect answer for every Christian question. You can ask one after service that did not pay attention at all. What did you learn today? I learned that we should always obey God. I learned that we should always serve God. We should not do the wrong things. Praise the Lord. So some people think that's why they read their Bible. Let's just read. Some people read their Bible absent-mindedly. But to Jesus, keeping his word is a proof that he loves. Let me show you. John 14. John 14, verse 23. John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. How clearer should he be? Do you love him? It's not by the songs you sing, though. Anybody can sing songs. There are people whose voice is so great. If you love him, you keep his words. It's not by the temple you build, like Solomon, that built a temple for God. But his heart was taken away. He stopped keeping God's words. And so you want your life to be impressive to God. You want God to be pleased with you every day. Prioritize his word. Anything that comes between you and God's word, you should cast away. It is not worth it. Let me tell you something. Oh, I wish I could put this. It is not worth it. On that day before Jesus, all these excuses people give will fade away. You will not find it. You will not find it to give. Do you understand? You think about this. Yeah, you have Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, and then Jesus is there with Elijah and Moses. What do you think? You would have thought, if I see Elijah, I have many questions to ask him. If I see Moses, there are many things I want to ask him. But you see, you will not find all those carnal things in the presence of God. So be smart. While you're here on the earth, anything that comes between you and the word of God, take it away. Go to John 14, verse 31. 7 verses down. Verse 31. Now, this is what Jesus is saying. He says, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go." Where was he going to die? But he's saying that he also proves his love for the Father by keeping his word. So you see, there are no options. This is what Jesus did. And this is what you should do. Go back to that 23. I just want to finish that verse because it's very nice. Glory to God. Verse 23. It says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him." Now, you know, God loves all of us. But when you study the word of God, you begin to realize that this love has some uniqueness. Do you understand? But I already said God loves all of us. Let that be clear. But think about it. The Bible says, while we're yet sinners, he loved us. Right? So he loves the sinner. But he loves you as his child. And the uniqueness of his love for you as his child is different. Then the Bible says, God loves a cheerful giver. There is children that don't give. There are children that give, but they're not cheerful. So there's a uniqueness of that love. Now he's telling you something. He's saying the one who keeps his word, because there are children of God that don't keep it. They don't know it. They just serve God. But they don't keep it. He's saying that Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him." Ah! Remember what God said in Malachi 3 about those who feared the Lord and kept his word? He said, "They will be my jewels." Oh, praise the Lord. No, if you had diamonds worth $3 million, all right? Had those diamonds, because they're better than Forex. So their value will never go down. Keep them in your house. Hid them somewhere, all right? That is ugly, but it's somewhere. And then you hear that thieves came into the house and stole some things. When you enter the house, where's the first place you're going to? Come on, talk to me. Where are you going to? Will you check your footmat? Did they carry the footmat? Is that what you're going to do? You go to your jewels. They are number one on your mind. He said, "Those who hearkened, feared the Lord, spoke about his name, kept his word, they are his jewels. They are number one." Praise the Lord. He says, "And my Father will love him." And look at this. It doesn't end there. He says, "And we will come unto him and make our abode with him." That's a prosperous man. Yeah. Are you saying it? That means that anything he requires, he has. There are those that, you know, there are some people that enter into university, they prayed and fasted 7 days and did deliverance service. No. Right in WAEC. Right in JAM, they prayed and fasted 7 days, did deliverance service. Pursue me 14 days, because this one is very serious. Everything in their lives, they have fought for. Everything is war. Getting a job is war. How much are they paying? 40K, but it's war. Promotion is war. Have you seen people like that? Level one, level two is war. Someone is always against them. And it's true. It is possible. But the one who keeps the word, like me, God has found his resting place in me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know, he's the God of excess. Do you know that? He's the God of excess. When he fed over 5,000, he gave them more than enough. There was left over. He's not a stingy God. He's not "let's manage it" God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When in Luke 5, he gave Peter fishes. I told you, he could have just counted how many people were there. Peter and Andrew, James and John, the fathers and servants, 15 times 2, 30, because I'm a God of double portions. So he gives them 30 fishes. But that's not what he did. He embarrassed them with provision. So imagine that God making his abode with you. Praise the Lord. So it is important for you to keep his word. That's how he's impressed by your life. And keeping his word is for your own good. We have seen the destinies and lives of ordinary men change when they came in contact with the word. Look at Abraham. Who knew the guy? But he came in contact with God's word and became. Abraham is like one of the most popular people on the earth. Everybody knows Abraham. They've not seen him, but they know him. Came very great. God gave the world to Abraham just because he came in contact with God's word. Look at Solomon. Good guy. Came in contact with the word and became the wisest man. The word of God changed his brain. The Bible told us Solomon had enlargement of heart. Did you see that in the word of God? It doesn't mean physical heart, because that's a physical condition if your heart is large. It means his brain became enlarged. You know what that means? You're wonderful. You know what that means? Have you seen some people in school that they read? They say, look, let me tell you, nothing can enter again. Why? The space is full. They say, read, they say, I'm just seeing it. It's not entering. There is no space. That's what it means. God gave him enlargement of heart so he could comprehend everything just because he came in contact with the word of God. Just because he came in contact with the word of God. Just, and you know what? He was not as privileged as you. Do you know that? The Levites, the priests were the ones with the scriptures. And they taught the people in the synagogue. Very few people went ahead to study for themselves like David. Just one meeting with the word. He got enlargement of heart. He got peace. Oh dear. We're getting there. He got peace. Let me tell you something. And there's some of you, you're doing business, so this is a wisdom for you. You can take it or you can choose not to take it. But the business you're doing, there's competition. Why are you struggling with human beings when you have the word of God? Let me tell you what happened in Solomon's day. Then you can go and do your other research. The Bible says in the days. Now remember, pay attention to this. Solomon was not a man of war. In those days, there was no United Nations. So any country can enter a country and take their properties. Are you in this place? That was how God gave the Israelites Israel. They drove out the Canaanites. Are you in this place? And in David's day, he was always fighting wars. Until he got weak, they said, King, don't fight again. They want to kill you. But they were still fighting. Now you have Israel. Their king is not a man of war. That is easy bait. He's not a man of war. Any king can enter that place and take it. In fact, not just that. His soldiers can form a coup. And not just that. He's not a man of war, but the country was very rich. The Bible says silver was as nothing. Do you understand that thing? Do you understand that? Someone said, name rich people you know. Name Solomon. Leave worthy people. Because tomorrow now they'll tell us they don't have anything. Name Solomon. Silver, not just by Solomon, but by the Israelites. Meaning that people saw silver and said, what is that? And with all of that prosperity and a king that cannot fight, is that not a gift? If you're a country with a king that can at least hold a sword, is that not a gift? Free of charge, but it never entered the mind of any king to attack Israel. So you have a business, there are many competitors. In fact, you are in level one of your business. Relax. Are you in this place? Relax. The word of God is your advantage. The time when people started thinking of fighting Solomon was when he left the word. Listen to this. I've thought about this thing for a very long time. I just always think the reason why Solomon had wars was not because he stopped physical training. You think about it. There must be some relationship between keeping the word of God and our reality. In fact, the Bible tells us after Solomon died, the whole of Israel, 10 tribes, said they didn't want Solomon's children as king anymore. They said a protest. The protest was not because of anything. They don't even know what they were doing. It was just because the man left the word. So leave that thing that early in the morning you cannot study your Bible, you're running to the market because you don't want computers to open before you. I said, God can go. Remember our theme scripture for the year? Go before you. Break the gates. Spend time with the word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, anybody who came in contact with God's word, there was a change. There was a change. Change in destiny. Look at Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. The man could have died as blind Bartimaeus. There are some of you, you've gone to your village. There's a man, the only way they can describe him to you is his problem. Don't you know what I'm talking about? He said, you remember that guy in the village? Which guy? The one that is walking like this. Oh, I know him. That would have been Bartimaeus. Destiny and fate until he met Jesus. And his physical condition changed. He began to see. Look at Anna. Barren, without children, went to pray and pray and pray and cry until she met Eli, the man of God, and he spoke the word. And then she had Samuel. She came and gave him to Eli, and then he spoke another word. I said, those, if you come in contact with the word of God, things must change. Now think about it. This is the word of God that people came in contact with once, and something changed in their lives. How much more the person who spends time with the word? What can happen to that person? At least we have insight. Let me show you. Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verse 29. And go there, but do you remember there was a man who was possessed with a devil in Mark 5? And the Bible says that man, oh, his case was so sad. He would take stones and cut himself. I mean, cutting yourself with a knife is already bad, but using a blunt object. And while he's cutting himself, he'll be crying. Because you see, he was possessed by demons. So the man himself is being hurt. But the demons did not stop. The Bible says they bound him with chains and fetters. He broke them. He was staying with dead bodies, hurting himself until he came in contact with the word of God. And that same man, the next time they saw him, was seated, well clothed, and in his right mind. The word of God. And you know, at times when the word of God is in oppression, because there are people who say things like, I don't feel like studying the word of God. That doesn't mean anything, no. Let me tell you something. That doesn't mean anything. Whether you feel like it or not, read that Bible. I'll give you an example. There are some of us, I think I shared that once. We would like to eat chicken and chips, right? Every day of our lives, forever and ever. Jollof, assorted dishes with weird names. But it's not available. You open your cupboard, what you have is garri. And you can buy moi moi. And you eat it. Now, while you're eating the garri and moi, it can be squeezing your face. They've spoiled this country. But you know what? Even if you're angry as you're eating the food, you will get the nutrients. Do you understand? The food will enter your stomach and say, is it not this guy that doesn't want to eat us? We are not doing anything. You will get the nutrients. Jesus likened the word of God to food. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So whether you feel like it or not, once you take the word of God inside of you, it's doing something. Are you in this place? Yeah. So the man came in contact, and I said that to say, so at times when you're with the word of God, it might look like nothing is changing. Bro, something is changing. God is not a bad investor. He will not spend time with you and nothing would happen. There's a good story I want to share, and you should remember it. You remember in Matthew 16, Jesus was saying that he was going to die, he was going to be buried, 3 days he will rise. Remember what happened? Peter took him aside and started rebuking him. Right? Are you in this place? All right. Now, we didn't hear that when Jesus was saying that, all of a sudden, Peter did, And then they say, and then Jesus is done talking. He said, Master, that should not. So that will not happen to you. Someone can say, oh, something happened to him. Evil spirit entered. That's why he's talking. That's not what happened. There was no sign. The guy had a problem. He didn't know. Are you in this place? He didn't know. His words showed that Satan had entered him. But there was no physical demonstration. There are people that you look, you see, they are looking at you. One minute they go like this. You know, demon that entered him. So on. But for Satan, this was Satan, not some small boy demon. Nothing happened with Peter. So Peter said, Master, that should not be unto you. And then Jesus said, get it behind me, Satan. Do you understand? Peter did not go, ah, you have caught me. He was still standing. Probably he came back to his right senses, probably. But he was still standing. Nothing changed physically, but Satan had gone. So it's little demons that demonstrate before they go. Satan doesn't demonstrate because he understands authority. So he just said, go. He left. And everything was still like the way it was. My point is, in the presence of the word of God, it might look like nothing is changing. You might even think you don't have a problem, but you don't know why nowadays you just want to cry. Nowadays you're just depressed. This country is depressing you. Your shoe is depressing you. You want to iron, they took light. They brought light, you burnt your clothes. What's all this? Someone says, don't think you have a demon. I don't have a demon. You might not know. But listen, come in contact with the word of God. And all of a sudden, the day is brighter. Things are better. And while you were reading, you didn't say, I'm feeling something moving inside of me, or what's going on? You might still seem normal, but things have changed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word of God will take you from being an average person to the best. Yes. No, there are people like that. All their lives they've been average. They don't expect more in class. C students, B students, A is a miracle. Jump, they were not the ones waiting for 300. No. 245 is a great thing. No, it's true. And then in life, they just expect average conditions. But the word of God can put you over. He can put you over. I said, let's take a clue. Exodus 34. I must finish my notes today. All right? Exodus 34, verse 29. I said, imagine people came in contact with the word of God and their life changed. So imagine how being in the presence of the word of God for so long. I said, we have a clue. Moses spent 40 days with God. Moses did not see God in that 40 days. All he had was the word. It was God speaking the law. Do you understand? Speaking the law, thou shalt not, bah, appeared on the tablet. And Moses was just there looking. Do you understand? When he came down, verse 29, and it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Just 40 days.
Glory to God!
Listen, just 40 days. And I have years and years to spend on this earth with the word of God. Just 40 days. He didn't know his face began to shine. Now someone can say, face shining, what does that mean? Your face can shine, be a light bulb. But something extra, it wasn't just about his face shining. Something happened to Moses' physical condition. Go to Deuteronomy 34, verse 27. Woo! Are you seeing how the word of God is an answer, or is the answer to everything? Jesus said, I am the way. 34 verse 20. All right, thank you. Thank you. Verse 7. Praise the Lord. Dio, you are wonderful. He says, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. She told us about his face shining. Something happened to his physical condition. This man, you know how he died? God told him. He said, Moses, it's time for you to die. The guy will not die. Do you understand? It's like David and Absalom. Absalom came back from, you know, he had been expelled. He came back. And then he was waiting for his father to die so he would take over, because he was next in charge. The Bible says, Absalom waited, waited years, and David refused to die. Waited, he didn't die. He said, okay, so he formed a coup. Look at this man, 120 years old, he didn't die. It was God that had to tell him, Moses, climb the mountain, lie down, and die. That's what God said. Listen, the man at 120 still had enough strength to climb a mountain. So God knew. He said, Moses, climb the mountain. Then he told him, he was specific, lie down. Close your eyes, or you're dying. And the Bible says the glory that we have. It says the glory of this day cannot be called glory where our own glory is. The glory of the world. Go to 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. But with awe, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. He says, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When he says, beholding as in a glass, it means a mirror. The glory of the Lord, the word of God. He says, anytime you behold the word of God, you are changed from one level of glory to another. From glory to glory, we have moved. From glory to glory, we have moved. From glory to glory, things have changed. From glory to glory, we have moved. From glory to glory, oh, things have changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, your glory fills this place. Hallelujah, your glory fills this place. Hallelujah, your glory fills this place. Hallelujah, your glory. One last time, from glory to glory. From the word of God himself. Go to Proverbs 8. And we'll close. Proverbs 8, verse 1. We'll start from verse 1 now. So get ready. Tell your neighbor, get ready. Tell them it only gets better. It only gets more glorious. All right. The word of God is wisdom. All right? So, when you hear wisdom here, it's talking about the word of God. All right? It's talking about the Spirit of God, talking about God. All right, verse 1. Are you ready? All right. It says, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? It says, wisdom is crying, shouting. Verse 2. She standeth in the top of high place. By the way, in the place, I mean, she's at the mountaintop. She's on the street. She's shouting. Verse 3. She cried at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. She's everywhere. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. See, I'm talking to you, human beings. Listen to the word of God. It says, O ye simple, understand wisdom. And you fools, be you of an understanding heart. Verse 6. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. Hallelujah. Oh boy. You know, you become what you are exposed to. Now, the word of God is saying he will speak of excellent things. Meaning he will make you excellent. I mean, the quality of words you get from the word of God is premium. It says, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Wow. So he'll tell you the right things. Do you understand? No matter how smart someone might claim he is, he might not know all the right things. But the word of God will tell you the right things. The right things to do. Do you understand? Verse 7. Is there a hookup somewhere? Okay, let's look into our own Bibles. All right. Just, if you don't have a Bible, stretch your neck to someone else's, because you have to see what we are sharing. Don't assume. 8 verse 7. Are you there? If you're there, say I'm there. All right. It says, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. So the word of God will tell you the truth. He says, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. He says, they are all plain to him that understandeth. See, the word of God is simple. All right, get back on. Thank you. The word of God is simple. Don't let yourself be deceived. So think this Bible, only pastors can understand it. There is no gift of understanding the word of God. Everybody can understand the word of God. He says, it is plain. Praise the Lord. Paul said, we speak with plainness of speech. Jesus said, in that day, I will show you plainly of my Father. So for now, for us, it is plain. He says that they are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Verse 10. He says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. What audacity. How can someone tell you, receive what I'm saying, throw away silver? He must know what he's saying. Meaning whatever he's saying is more important. It will give you that thing he told you to throw away. He says, now remember this Proverbs. And the person that was inspired to write this was the richest man at that time. And silver was as nothing in his day. So at least by evidence, I think this is correct. It says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Verse 11. Should we look at our Bibles again? Oh dear. All right. Verse 11. He says, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. You see, God knows the gold. He knows the things people are looking for. He knows where the crypto is, the Bitcoin. He has seen the end already. He knows where the dollars are. And he's telling you here, he says, wisdom is better than rubies. That money you are chasing, that you don't have time for the word of God, you have made a poor choice. He says, wisdom is better than rubies. Meaning God put wisdom and rubies together and rubies was found wanting. Can we use you? Can we? All right. It says, and all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Verse 12. Have you seen some people that say, me, my own is not getting money? I get money. I used to spend it. Some people will disguise, I'm a very generous person. No, they know how to waste. They are not prudent. He's saying, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Meaning that if you spend the word of God, you become prudent. And remember something, the word of God gets inside of you and fixes the internals. You can hear, you can put many things, you tie your hand and say, I will tie this hand. As I'm tying this hand, that means it will not enter my pocket, so I'll not spend money. These are externals. People say when they take their wife to the shop, they hold their hand. So they'll not buy. Those are externals. The word of God gets inside of you and fix the eternals. Now he's telling you that wisdom, the word of God dwells with prudence. You want to be prudent? It's not by tying your money. Some people will tie their money, hide it somewhere that before they will touch it, it will be very difficult. The next day they will touch it. Someone says, I bought kolo. I put it inside. As though you don't know where hammer is. He says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The guy said, we have this company and we've run dry of ideas. He said, we've run dry of ideas. Right? Or someone says, everything that's to be invented, they have invented it. No. This is the creator. He can create new things. 13. He says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine. Don't want to look for counsel from the village. They say, elders in the village. I find out those elders in the village, when they were young, how were they? Look at that guy that was a rascal. Now he's an elder. Everybody respects him. Listen, counsel is with the word of God. Except the elders are proclaiming the word of God, leave their own. This is the counsel that will work. Are you in this place? He says, and sound wisdom. Doesn't stop there. Now he tells us, I am understanding. Someone says, I need understanding about this market. I need understanding about this course. He says, I am understanding. You get the word of God, you get understanding. Go and read that book and see. Enter that market and see. He says, I am understanding. You know, I just think, if you are serving a supernatural God, are you surprised that he has supernatural ways? Are you surprised that that is what will give you the edge in life? How can you be struggling with others when your God is supernatural? He says, I am understanding. He says, I have strength. Are you tired? Are you weary? He has strength. You know, the Bible tells us that Daniel met an angel. And the angel was so glorious, his knees buckled, he fainted. And the angel said, Daniel, get up, get up. So he got up and he was still weak. Then Daniel said, he strengthened me by speaking words. He said, you are strong. And he said, strength came to me. So this thing works. Are you in this place? It works. He said, I have strength. Look at, do you know when Moses was on that mount 40 days and 40 nights, he did not eat? Do you know? Do you know that? He didn't eat. Man shall not live by bread alone. He was the one who said it. He had experience. It says, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, the word has strength. Verse 15. I like this one. He says, by me, kings reign. Oh, we have the secret document now. Listen, I'm thinking. He says, by the word of God, kings reign. So kings use the word of God to reign. What does that mean? Anybody who has the word of God is a king. And should reign. He says, and priests decree justice. You will make righteous judgments. It says, by me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. He says, I love them that love me. Remember what Jesus said in John 14, verse 23? That if a man keep my word, my father will love him.
This is what he's saying. He said, I love them that love me. So listen, remember you live before the Lord. It matters what you show him. Look at you. You can be so passionate about carnal things. How about your passion for the word of God? He knows. He says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Verse 18. Glory to God. Someone say, where are you coming from? I've just been going up and down. Going up and down looking for daily bread. Hustling. He says, riches and honor are with me. That thing people are going around looking for, he says, they are with me. Riches. There are people that are riches, that have riches, but no honor. Nobody respects them. That those are the only thing they have is respect. No money. He says, riches and honor are with me. He says, yes, durable. Durable riches and righteousness. Have you seen that guy that was driving the latest cars? Volkswagen. Was that one? B2. That was the latest car. He was driving it. Now he's in a village. Has a small farm. No money. The riches were not durable. But not for the one who has the word of God. He says durable riches. That means money that will last. He says, and right, the people that think that you cannot be rich and righteous, if you're doing something, you must be a Yahoo boy. His blood, you know, blood money has gone down a bit. You hardly hear of it before. Again, before, everything was blood money. No. No. When God meets a man, he makes him rich. Look at Abraham. Look at Job. Look at Jacob. Look at Joseph. The word of God says, durable riches and righteousness. He says, my fruit is better than gold. That means the result you will get from spending time with me, are you in this place, is better than gold. It's better than fine. You know the different qualities of gold. He says, my fruit is better than fine gold. He says, and my revenue. So once we are trying to make ends meet in a business, you know, the revenue and the profit and the net income, the net profit, the net everything. So what's your revenue? What's your cost of production? Cost of production is higher than revenue, very bad. He says, the word of God can even influence your economy. He says, my revenue than choice silver. He says, I lead in the way of righteousness. You know what that means? It means that he will lead you to do the right things. Let me tell you something. You know, at times, being led by the Spirit of God is not necessarily every point you hear the word of God, you hear a voice. Not necessarily. He can influence your mind and your decisions. So it says God is at work in you both to will and to do. So while you're willing and doing, you think it's you. Do you understand? You don't hear any word, but you just have a desire to do this thing. All of a sudden, you want to invest here. You want to call this person. You say, I just think I want to do it. I just desire to do it. But you don't know you're being led by the word of God. So I tell people, spend time with God before you go out. He will lead you right. Are you in this place? He will influence your mind and your choices and your decisions. Praise the Lord. It says, in the midst of the path of judgment, verse 21, let's rush down now. It says, it says that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. And I will fill their what? They didn't have bank accounts then. He says, I will cause you. I told you, this thing is not about every time you hear a voice. Not necessarily. You begin to will. You begin to do things that are just profitable. Do you understand? I mean, you spend little time, much results. He says, I will cause those that love me to inherit substance. Forget that your father did not give you an inheritance. Forget the guy in school that has a Benz, is coming into class with a Benz, going with the Benz. His father has a duplex. Leave that one. He says, I will cause those that love me. Look at the criteria there. Spend time with the word of God. He says, I will cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. And he has the track record. He has a track record. So what are you looking for that you don't have time for the word of God? Satan has been deceiving you. The world has been lying to you. they have been shortchanging you. They've been offering you something shiny, but it is worthless. He says, I will fill their treasures. Praise the Lord. He says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. You see, he's trying to tell you his track record. Why can someone say he will fill your treasures? What does he have? What does he know? So he's now trying to prove himself to you. He says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. He says, before God did everything, I was there. Meaning he knows where the treasures are. Remember our theme scripture? He said, we give you treasures of darkness. That means it's dark. Nobody has access to it yet. Do you understand? Everybody is chasing after this. That one is dark. They have no access, but God knows it. Do you understand? He says, we give you the hidden treasures of secret places. So he said, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. He says, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. Verse 24. You have to just do 24 and 25. Because when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While I was yet, he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the dust of the world. He's saying, I was here before all these things. So I know where they are. I can give them to you. He says, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set the compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, verse 29, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandments, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Now, this as one brought up with him, if you look at other translations, it tell you, I was with him as his master craftsman, as his artist. This is what he's saying. He said, look at the beautiful world that you see and all the treasures in the world that you see. He said, I was there as God's master craftsman. I was the one who beautified it. The Bible says by his spirit he garnished the heavens. He can beautify your life. He can make things right. Listen, with the word of God, is beyond fixing things. It's from glory to glory. Meaning it gets so much better. He can craft your life the way it should be. Verse 1. He says, rejoicing in the habitable parts of his earth, and my delight over the sons of man. So anytime you spend time with the word of God, he's excited. I told you, nobody that spends time with the word of God will ever get a rebuke from God. He says, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Say, I'm blessed. Let's go on. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. He said, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Verse 35. Should we leave you? Okay, let me get to my Bible because we're almost done. Almost done. Almost done. Someone give me their Bible. It's like my iPod is doing competition. All right. Verse 35. It says, for whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me, wrongeth his own soul. So you're doing yourself. It says, all they that hate me, love death. There are no options. Praise the Lord. There are no options. So listen, let your life be pleasing to God. The benefits, there is no disadvantage. Are you in this place? There is no disadvantage. Don't receive the lies of the world that everything is going fast, fast. Go fast with it. Fear of missing out. You have to know what's happening everywhere. Bro, no one's in the world. Are you in this place? What's happening everywhere is temporal. There's always something trending. In fact, it's such a right terminology. It's trending. It comes to pass. The word of God always remains. Spend time with the word. He says, whatever he gives will be durable. Are you in this place? It will be durable. This is our year of prosperity. And true prosperity comes to the man who spends time with the word. Someone can look like he's prospering. Tomorrow we are hearing a different story. But I told you, prosperity is the natural expression of a man who spends time with God, who spends time with his word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, I love the word. I keep the word. Say, I have found my treasure. I have found the word. I have found life. Henceforth, prosperity is mine. Life is mine. There is no darkness. Speak in other tongues. Speak in other tongues.